Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed, author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Rebecca Koffler, a Russian-born U.S. intelligence expert, worked with Defense Intelligence Agency as well as the CIA's National Clandestine Services, and has led red teams during wartime, or war games rather, briefing the Pentagon, White House, NATO on Russian affairs. U.S. military commanders calling her a national asset and receiving the National Intelligence Professional Award. Now an independent consultant, lives in D.C. and is author of the week, Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America. Now, those of you who listen all the time may recognize her name. We actually had her on as author of the week last year when the book first came out. But I thought with everything that's developed, it would be a great time to actually revisit this. I think, in fact, this is the only time we've actually ever had an author back on the same book because of changing circumstances. And I want to thank you for being with us once again. And you know, prior or during our last talk, we were not where we are today. While there had always been some Russian troop buildup along the Ukrainian border, things had not escalated to where it looked as if there was some sort of potential invasion occurring. Has the way this played out, has it surprised you any? What have your thoughts been as the last several months have unfolded?
It absolutely did not surprise me, Nick. The only surprise was how quickly it happened. You know, when I was writing the book, I knew eventually there will be a confrontation like this because Russian and Western policies are on a geopolitical collision course, having been fighting over the same territory. Who's going to call the shots in Eurasia? Is it Russia or is it the United States? And so the only thing that surprised me is that it happened just months after my book was published.
One of the things that we talked about last time, and I'm going to ask it again, if we can kind of go back in time, and we talked about what your advice would be to Biden in dealing with Putin. Do you remember what it was then? And then how would you grade him so far?
Well, there's really no grade to describe the Biden's administration's failure. It's a complete failure to understand their strategic opponent. Vladimir Putin is an utter failure of Russia policy that has been pursued by the Biden administration, but even by Barack Obama. Remember that President Joe Biden was Obama's VP. And instead of listening to Putin, who never made it a secret what his plans actually were, Vice President Joe Biden and President Obama were pursuing the foolish reset policy with the mistranslated button from Home Depot or wherever it was, Office Depot. That was the culmination of the incompetence. They were trying to turn Putin into a friend. And so, yes, today we are basically just reaping the fruits of the disastrous policies of both of these administrations.
So I view it as somebody that doesn't have near the insight that you do, but I'm one of these. I simplify everything. I look at, all right, well, what do they want? What drives them? What motivates them? How do you deal with that? And what works and what doesn't work? I always felt that that was sort of Trump's approach as well, which is why I think that he was ultimately successful. He wasn't worried so much about what a book says, but just knowing the person, the street smarts, and utilizing that in assessing how to deal with folks. But I watch what's playing out, and it is so frustrating to me because it is so clear what should and should not happen. And while there are some certain areas that I think definitely reasonable people can agree and disagree on the right approach, but there's some things that just are clearly bad moves, and we continue to make those over and over again. And over the weekend, for example, well, since Thursday, three of the big ones, you have Biden talking about if Putin uses chemical weapons, we'll react in kind, which means we'll do the same. He talked talking to some of our troops, telling them once you're over there and you see the Ukrainians and how they're standing up to the Russians, you know, telling them what they'll see, suggesting that they're going to be in Ukraine, and then talking about how we cannot allow Putin to stay in power. And then yesterday saying, well, I never said any of that stuff. That's just your interpretation of it. It has to be. I can't, if it's frustrating for me, I can't imagine what it's like for you to watch all this play out.
It's like watching a slow motion train wreck. I felt like that when I was back in the intelligence community, when I was warning for 10 years or so what was going to happen. And nobody really wanted to listen because it didn't fit into the mental framework of Washington establishment's national security apparatus, because they think that everyone else wants the same things, thinks the same things, and Putin doesn't think like an American, and of course he doesn't think like a Washington politician. He thinks like a Russian, like a former KGB officer. And the crux of this conflict is the security concern. And that you will not even hear anywhere in mass media. Everybody talks about democracy and, you know, all sorts of things. But ultimately, it's a pure military calculation. Everything else is secondary. The distance between St. Petersburg and NATO forces has reduced 10 times, from 1,000 miles during the Cold War to 100 miles today with the acceptance of the Baltics into NATO, right? And so this is what Putin cannot tolerate. He would like to enforce a Monroe doctrine type, his own version, and Washington does not believe that that's the right thing for us, which it's not. We do have strategic interests in Ukraine. But again, in real politic world, like you said, we need to understand what drives these people, what motivates them. And instead of actually realistically looking at the situation, President Biden keeps making these gaffes, and he has become a liability today, Nick, for our security, because he just called on regime change, and he unintentionally, I hope it's unintentional, gave Putin green light to use tactical nuclear weapons in Ukraine, because regime change is an existential threat for Russia. And this is exactly what several days ago Dmitry Peskov, the Kremlin's spokesperson, said, that the Russian doctrine, and you know, I know this because I was a former I'm a former intelligence officer, envisions use of tactical nukes to de-escalate conflict in the event they're faced with existential threats. This is how dangerous our chief executive is.
We're talking with Rebecca Koffler, our author of the week. The book is Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America. Several weeks ago, there were numerous folks within the administration and even outside the administration, and they were talking about how Putin had changed. There was something different about him. And on one hand, of course, with potential isolation, that of course can happen, and as time marches on, but it did seem oddly coordinated, to where I wondered if it wasn't sort of a way to perhaps concern those in his inner circle, started asking themselves, man, maybe he is going crazy. Should we even be backing this guy? What was your assessment of those revelations over a period of several days where they were coming out and questioning his mental stability and whether or not he's changed over the years?
This was a poor attempt, I would say, on behalf of the Biden administration, with the help of the media, to run what we call a PSYOP, psychological operation, on Putin. And that is and on his circle, right? And that's because we don't have a real strategy, so we're trying to come up with a magic bullet, whether it's sanctions or whether it's a psychological operation like that, nothing is different about Putin, Nick. Putin is the same person that he's always been. He's a cold-blooded former KGB operative who has authorized poisonings, assassinations. He's been preparing this plan, Putin's playbook, for 20 years, okay? He was not in isolation. He was in constant communications with his circle, the key officials, you know, the chief of security council, the GRU, Russian military intelligence chief, the FSB, Russian domestic intelligence chief, and his general chief of staff. Russian general staff, Valery Gerasimov. So, Putin is 100% mentally stable, but remember the cultural difference between what it means to be stable
right.
in the Russian culture and American culture is two different things, okay? He is rational based on Russian culture and the culture of a Soviet, you know, authoritarian type environment. Remember, it's the same culture that produced Ivan the Terrible, who killed his own son, and Stalin murdered scores of Russian people. So all this talk about mental instability, I think it's not only a psychological operation, but it also is an attempt to find an excuse for not really anticipating what Putin was going to do. Because if you're a crazy person, then who could have possibly prevented? Even Condoleezza Rice, who's supposed to be the super duper, you know, Putin expert, she said a while ago, there's 5% chance that Putin is delusional. He's absolutely not delusional. And all this talk is only dangerous because if you're delusional, then there's a pretext to remove you, right? And that's what is going to drive Putin to use tactical nukes to get out of his situation, out of the corner, because right now he feels like a cornered rat.
We're talking with our author of the week, Rebecca Koffler. I'd like to go ahead, if we can, and carry this on into another segment just because of the subject matter and a few questions I still do have. So we'll continue on with Rebecca Koffler. The book is Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America, on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. Flood warning through 9:30 for areas east of Springfield. Scattered rain, snow showers possible, mainly after 2. Cloudy, high of 40. Widespread frost overnight down to 30. Sunny, 62 tomorrow, and a chance of showers in the morning Saturday with a high of 64. Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Going a little long with this one. And we've actually had Rebecca Koffler on last year regarding Putin's playbook, Russia's secret plan to defeat America. But she was kind enough to come back given the recent developments well over the last couple months or so. She's a Russian-born U.S. intelligence expert and has worked with the Defense Intelligence Agency, CIA, and has led red teams during war games and briefed the Pentagon, the White House, NATO. So she is an expert in her field. We've heard, I guess it was just a little over a week or almost a week ago, the president talking about, you know, this guy can't stay in power, talking about or to our troops once they're, you know, once you're in Ukraine, here's what you're going to see, and all of these things. While they've tried to walk them back, it seems as if this has not been received well. Putin, it fuels what paranoia he may have or justifies what it is that he's doing in his belief that we want to topple him. The strategic nuclear weapons, do you think that that is something that he would use?
He may. I do not rule out that possibility at all, Nick. Here's why. The war is not going well for Mr. Putin. His strategic plan that was developed on his orders has not survived contact with the adversary. And he's realizing that as long as we continue to help Ukraine with weaponry, with technical advice and all of those other things that President Biden had the Freudian slip about, because there's a reason, obviously, that he said that 82nd Airborne is not just any kind of contingent that we have. I am certain there are things going on that are not visible to an average American, but the Russians know this. This is why they bombed that lab, the chemical lab that was within 12 miles of Poland. There's a reason why Putin is feeling that he has no chips to play. And depending on how these negotiations are going, that I do not believe that they are at face value. I just know Putin too well to trust him, okay? Every single time we negotiated with him. And remember, that's how this whole thing started, right? Right under Mr. Biden's nose, who kept sending his diplomats to negotiate with the Russians, the security guarantees that, or rather an ultimatum that Putin gave to us. Both sides knew that they were unachievable, and yet Biden proceeded to negotiate while Putin was building up slowly, methodically, gradually, 190,000 troops contingent. And right when he is almost encircled Ukraine, he invaded. So, no, I do not rule out this possibility, because the guy cannot lose, and he has to win. He also needs to meet his security requirements, and that is increase the distance between NATO and Moscow and St. Petersburg, where the Russian regime is. And only by guaranteeing that Ukraine does not become part of NATO, Putin believes he can achieve that objective of enforcing his version of the Monroe Doctrine.
Yeah, we've got the phrase, cut your losses, and that's something that I think, I don't want to say it's uniquely American, but it certainly is something that is oftentimes utilized to make decisions, you know, and so we transfer that to others. And so I think that some look at what's going on and they say, well, he's having a rougher time of it, so he's probably going to pull back and settle for a couple of regions, and if he can cut the losses of the humiliation and the rest of Ukraine and get that, then that may be a calculated decision he makes. Is your assessment that is that an option for him, or is that not an option to cut those losses?
Here's my counter assessment to that, Nick. Putin has heard the narrative that he's a war criminal, he's a butcher, that came out of the mouth of our chief executive. He also heard what Lindsey Graham said, calling on the Russian people to assassinate him, effectively. So even if we settle, right, suppose you're right, suppose he is looking for an off-ramp, he was just told that off-ramp is really not an option for him. Regime change is something that Putin suspected was Washington pursuing for years at this point. And culturally, the Russians are predisposed for a worst-case scenario. And Putin especially was scarred psychologically by the following visuals. Saddam Hussein, remember,
right.
He was captured by U.S. military and then died brutal death at the hands of his own people. So the picture of Saddam Hussein being hung with his neck bent over, tongue sticking out, his eyes rolled back, and also Muammar Gaddafi, you know, all covered in blood when he was shot and he died before his security was able to get him to a hospital. Putin was shocked by that. This is his worst nightmare. We just told him there's no off-ramp for him, and even if we negotiate with him, ultimately, we want him out. He doesn't believe us. And so Putin has vowed years ago, when even, you know, when he was a child, when he was attacked by that rat that I describe in my book, and I recently described in that New York Post piece, And he also vowed to himself when he couldn't get Moscow on the line, when he was surrounded by a mob of East Germans during the collapse of the Berlin Wall. He vowed never to be captured and always fight to the end. And this is why I believe he is prepared to fight to the end, even if he has to unleash nuclear warfare on Ukraine.
So finally, then, when the administration, specifically President Biden, comes out and says, oh, that's not what I meant, nobody believes that I actually meant that, is that pretty useless in terms of convincing Putin?
Yes, that is pretty useless. They just believe it's a Freudian slip, you know, that ultimately they already concluded, Nick, that's what Washington was after, regime change, because they watched what we do. In the past 20 years, our military operations were under scrutiny by the Russians, and that's how they developed their strategy, the asymmetric strategy that Putin has mentioned several times, and it's codified in Russian military doctrine and other strategic planning documents. And this is what my book describes. I just called it, you know, colloquially, Putin's playbook, because they know what our vulnerabilities are. They know how we conduct war, and they also know our war aims. And in many situations, we went for a regime change. And so Biden's attempt to roll it back, they don't believe it. They're suspicious already, even before he said anything. They assessed that was the goal, and Joe Biden just confirmed it. And rolling back, they view it as just him trying to clean up his mess, but they don't believe it.
Our author of the week, Rebecca Koffler, Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America. Thank you again so much for being with us this morning.
Of course, Nick. It's a pleasure to have been with you and your audience today.
Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.